We started to build a niche of we're investors ourselves. So any agent that comes to me, we're very selective about who we bring on board. They have to be investors first. That's extremely important to me because I don't want people to sell just to sell.
Real estate is about freedom, choice freedom, time freedom, and money freedom, and the impact you can make with that freedom. But it doesn't come without cost. Your freedom takes work. That's why Neil Timmons brings together the tools you need to build your real estate legacy, from tips and tricks to interviews with industry titans. It's all here in one place. Real Grit. Let's get to it.
Coming right up with Bree Schmidt, how she went from zero to owning 100 plus units in a market outside of where she lives, how she built a brokerage from scratch and built it to a spot where they've sold over $60 million in real estate last year, focusing on investors. She's out of Chicago. Bree Schmidt coming right up. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Grit. I've got Bree Schmidt here with me today. She acquired her first investment property in 2011, left the corporate world in 2014, and became a full-time real estate investor. She's got 2 to 4 units in her portfolio in the Chicago and Milwaukee markets, just under 100 units total. She's also the managing broker of Second City Real Estate, full service brokerage firm there in Chicago. They've sold over $60 million worth of property here last year, one of the largest boutique firms in Chicago, specializing in investment properties. And she's the co-founder of the Midwest Real Estate Networking Summit. It's a week-long educational summit for real estate investors. They provide information and experiences to new and experienced investors, tools, connections necessary to build your real estate business. So I'm excited to have her here. Bree, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You bet. I'm excited to have you here.
Me too.
Well, tell me, we all started someplace. Tell me about the first entry point, your first investment property.
So my story is a little bit interesting from the fact of, you know, I loved real estate since I was very young. When I was 17, I actually started working for a licensed assistant working for a real estate broker. Got my license the day I turned 21. Yeah. State, you had to be 21 to get your license. And like never went to college because I was going to be a real estate agent. I pictured myself like that mom from American Beauty.
Yes.
You know, like that's how I pictured my life. And I hated it. I quit after a year.
Really
struggled with it. And went into corporate advertising for almost 10 years. So I always kept my license because I always had a passion for it, right? I liked looking at properties. I liked running numbers. Sure. Kept my license active for about 9 years until it was time to buy my first property. So my fiance and I were engaged. We were, you know, talking about marriage and kids and what our, you know, future looks like. And one of those parts of that puzzle was buying a house. Well, in the Chicago market, you know, a house was too expensive for us and we didn't need all that space. So I started looking at investment properties and we call them flats here. Mm-hmm. So a triplex is a 3-flat here. And we had enough money for a, you know, FHA program. So we bought a 3-flat with the intentions of that was going to be our forever home.
Yeah.
When we needed more space, we were going to, you know, take out a wall, move a staircase, right? Take up 2 floors and then eventually make the whole house ours. So right after we bought it, my dad was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer and he ended up passing quite quickly within 9 months. So he died literally the day before he was supposed to retire. And it really messed with me. I'm like this, you know, he always talked about all the things he was going to do with his life.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Thailand. We're going to go travel here. You know, after your brother finishes college, after your wedding, like it was always after something. Right. And he never got a chance to do any of that stuff. So it really messed with my psyche and thinking like, damn, I was 28 years old, maybe. I'd been working corporate for 7-8 years, you know, 60 hours a week. I traveled a ton. I traveled almost every single week for work. And I'm like, I've got 30 more years of this crap, you know, like, and for what? My measly 2-week vacation. Yeah. This isn't going to work for us. So we sat down and talked about, you know, what our vision board, let's say. You know, what does our ideal life look like? And a lot of that involved with travel, right? We want to have freedom to travel. We want to be able to take more than 2 weeks off and not have to be answering emails or feel like we're still working. So, you know, we looked at like, hey, maybe one of us quits our job and goes to coding boot camp, you know, and then learns to code because you can do that from anywhere. And then the other one quits their job. But real estate was always kind of in the back of our heads. So we ended up buying another property and then another property the next year. then I started looking at, you know, other markets. We had done our third property was a live-in flip, or people call it a burr. Mm-hmm. And we completely renovated it. We were able to pull out a good amount of capital from that project. And then I was sitting there like, well, now I've got all this money. I got to figure out something to do with it. Right. And at that time I found a website called Bigger Pockets, mm-hmm. which if you don't know, was a social network for real estate investors. And it blew up my world because there was all these people geeking out over stuff that I like to geek out about. And it completely took over my life. I always joke with people, like, I used to be a normal person who could have conversations about normal things like sports and, you know, TV shows. And that is just not the case anymore.
No.
So we, you know, through that, we looked at investing out of state, you know, the Chicago market, at least where I invest, you know, the price points right now are about $700,000 a property. Mm-hmm. You know, they're a B class, right? 6% cap rates, like they're decent, you know, returns, but nothing that you could quit your job off of.
Right.
You would need a lot of capital to do so. So we looked at Indianapolis, Milwaukee, and St. Louis, reached out to different agents in those markets and said, hey, I've got $1 million to spend. Mm-hmm. I'm going to come out for one day and I want you to show me what you would buy with $1 million. And I did three different tours in three different cities and met with these agents and learned about those markets. And I really liked the Milwaukee market. For us, it's an hour and a half drive.
Yep.
It's very similar to Chicago. It's a dense urban market. So we started buying there in 2014. See, I bought 10 properties in 2014, another eight in 2015, started taking on some partners, people. I was just talking about what I was doing on Bigger Pockets. Yep. Some other out-of-state investors reached out to me, liked what I was doing, liked my style. So then we bought another 11 with partners in 2015 and 2016, built that market up. At the same time, I had quit my job to do the Milwaukee market full-time. Yep. I was pretty much up there every week, getting the business started, you know, processes and systems and, you know, just getting everything ready to go. Yep. But at the same time, I quit my job, the glorious day.
Sure.
And thought I'd be one of those people that like sat in the cafe and read a book and chilled.
Yeah.
And quickly learned I'm not one of those people. So through that, I ended up starting my own brokerage company as well in Chicago. So we've now built that too. We've got 8 agents now. We did $60 million last year. We focus on investment properties. The Milwaukee market is still doing good, though I have liquidated about half my portfolio right before COVID hit. We had last ones under contract right before COVID.
When you were up there building that portfolio, what did that look like from your action standpoint? Was it focused just on the acquisition side? You're running rehabs or you're managing? How did you handle that management component?
So we had an interesting situation where the first property we were buying, really liked the agent that had showed us the property. And turns out he was the owner of the property. So like he knew the tenants, right? He like, you know, how is so-and-so's soccer game? Yeah. Or, so-and-so's just started third grade. I'm like, that's the kind of person that I am, right? And that's how I treat my tenants. And I really liked that aspect. So after the showing, we made him an offer and said, listen, would you be interested in managing for us? And he said, yes. Would you be interested in buying more properties? And we said, yes.
Right.
Well, it turns out his family, this was like a third generation business within his family. So we ended up buying another 4 properties off his family. That was our first purchase, was all his properties. Yeah. So he was already managing them. It was really, really easy to take over.
Yeah.
You know, a few months later, we bought another 5 properties that were on market, because our bank, we were doing commercial loans. Yep. And the price points in Milwaukee, you know, nowadays you can get a duplex for in decent condition, for like, let's say 120. That was too small of a loan for our lender to want to deal with. So their deal was, hey, if you can buy 5 properties at once, that makes it worth our time. So that's all we were buying. We did 4 purchases and bought 18 properties in 9 months.
Yeah.
So he was taking over. It was a really, really rough first year because I knew that we were going to scale.
Yep.
So the idea of having an in-house property manager was great to me. You know, problem was he was fantastic with the tenants. Fantastic with repairs, right? He had a whole network of people that did stuff. Terrible with accounting. Like literally he would go deposit like $10,000 cash into my account. I'm like, what's this for? He's like, oh, the receipts are in my pocket. You know, I'm like, that doesn't help me.
Yeah.
You know, like there was no accountability for anything when it came to the books. Luckily, like that's one of my really strong suits.
Yeah.
So like I'd go up to Milwaukee, you know, every 2-3 weeks, let's say, get a bottle of wine, go to his house. He had me like plastic bags of receipts, and I'd go to my hotel and get drunk and go through the accounting. Then I'd go up there and see properties when I was up there, you know, visit, like if you needed my decision on repairs.
Yep.
Oh, I was up there quite often, let's say four nights a month doing this in a bunch of day trips for about a year until when I took on my partner's properties. Our first closing was a little over a year after my first closing. At that point we had, properties 19 to 23.
Yeah.
I was dealing with other people's money.
Yes.
And it became a new level of responsibility for me. And I couldn't keep going up there and doing half the job and paying him full time. Secondly, I wasn't, you know, there was a lot of mistakes. So we decided at that point, once we took on the partners, to go to a full service outsourced property management. We've been with them ever since.
It's a good way to quit your drinking habit then.
No, I still have a drinking habit.
That was just an excuse for going there and doing so, huh?
Yeah, but it was then my switch. You know, yeah. The other part of it too was at the same time I was doing the agent stuff in Chicago, and that was going really well.
When did that launch?
2014.
All right. So a lot happened in 2014. All right. So you launched the brokerage. So you're running these in tangent.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
And I was spending all my time in Milwaukee.
Yes.
Right. And realized that I make more commission being in Chicago
than going and doing accounting work in Milwaukee.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
So
yeah.
So, you know, it's the time thing, time versus money.
So eventually you hire a full service firm up in Milwaukee so that you can get yourself out of that role and then focus your time, energy, effort in other avenues and commissions being one of them.
Correct.
Generating commissions. And then were you selling property at that time or did you start a brokerage and recruit agents at that time?
I did not accrue agents.
Okay.
I had my license for so long that I was able to just start my own firm based on my license experience and really had no intentions of recruiting agents. It was supposed to just be, you know, me helping people out.
Yeah.
You know, never did marketing. It was all just through referrals, you know, meetup events. But it started to really grow and we started to build a niche of, you know, we're investors ourselves. So any agent that comes to me that wants to, we're very selective about who we bring on board. They have to be investors first. That's extremely important to me because I don't want people to sell just to sell. And so I'll give you a story. We were bringing on another agent was interested in getting licensed. He had 50 units, I think, at that point. He did mixed use. He did apartment buildings. He did commercial. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to get licensed and do this full time. So I'm like, great. Why don't you come out with me for a day? You know, we'll go do some showings. You can see what it's like. So the first showing, he was very quiet, you know, just observed. And the second showing, he started talking more. And by the third showing, you know, I let him lead the whole conversation. And I remember he's an Irish guy. He swears a ton.
Yeah.
I remember we get in the car and he's like, oh, crap. I just ruined that sale for you. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, that property was a piece of shit. Yeah. It would have cost this guy so much money. He's like, I'm so sorry. Like, I just told him all the problems with the property, you know, because it was a piece of crap. Yeah. And I wouldn't want my brother buying it. I'm like, that's exactly what this job is. Right. Like you did a fantastic, like that's exactly what I would wanted you to do. And that's exactly what you should be doing.
Right.
Is not pushing someone and selling them sunshine and rainbows to get a commission. Right. So that's how we built our brokerage.
The relationships worth more than the commission.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And just the sleeping at night. Like,
correct.
Not knowing that you didn't put someone in a negative position.
Right.
So that's how we built our business and it's done really well for us because we're entirely referral based.
Have you been to the vault? RealGritVault.com. Listen, we've got multiple guests who come on and oftentimes they bring us little tips, tricks, tools, scripts, Excel calculators, a multitude of things, and they share it. They share it for you. You can get them totally free, totally free. RealGritVault.com. Never been on the show who's brought everything. It's all behind the vault. Get it. RealGritVault.com.
Yeah, no, that's incredible. You're focused solely on investment properties. Is that right?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Depends on the agent. Yep. Some agents take on some retail stuff. Mm. Like if I've had clients who, you know, they bought three properties with me as investments and now they're looking for their single family house,
yep.
You know, or they're going to sell their condo to buy an investment property, like that kind of stuff. Yep. But we typically don't target
the retail
buyers and they don't like us.
Yeah.
Right. And no, I don't like them.
A different breed. Like, no, I understand that.
I can't talk about paint colors. Right. And like how it makes you feel. I don't communicate that way. And it's not very cohesive.
Yeah. No, I totally understand that. Looking back, Milwaukee, you know, knowing what you know now, what would you have done differently back in 2014? Let's say.
Ooh, there's a lot. you know, one of our, we grew extremely quickly. Mm-hmm. Again, it had to do with our loan program. It had to do with the fact that like my biggest problem was having money, you know, because when you have money, like you want to make it work for you, right?
Yes.
So we scaled extremely quickly and that definitely hurt us financially. Mm-hmm. One of the things I did not know about Milwaukee when I first started investing there was that when you buy a property in the closing docs and part of the closing procedure is you need to pay the city of Milwaukee to come out and do an inspection on your property. And they give you a whole list of violations that you need to correct. So every single property that you buy within 30 days, the city gives you a laundry list of repairs. Could be regrading, repouring the concrete. It could be roofs, right? So because we were buying five at a time and yep. we were buying essentially yep. every 3 months, like the first year we just got slammed, right? But we have deadlines for this kind of stuff too. You know, you can't take 6 months to fix it. So right. the first year our crews were out there, you know, day in and day out fixing. And as soon as we got properties cleared, we would buy more and start the process again. The other thing is within the properties are within a primarily Hispanic community. In that community, it's quite common if a new owner comes by, people just leave, you know, like, and we wouldn't know. So we would, you know, give them a letter, like, here's our welcome letter. Yeah. We're the new owners. You know, you give them a couple of days, you call the number, they don't answer, you know, it takes you a week to figure out that they just moved. And that happens maybe a third of the time. So then we had lease ups on top of all this. So mm-hmm. it was quite stressful. I'm very glad I did that stuff though, like when I did it, because then I had kids. I've got a 3-year-old and an 8-month-old. Yeah. And there's no way I could have handled that building the business stress
right.
with little kids at home.
Yeah. What's your team structure look like today?
As far as
as far on both sides of things, are you still external property managers?
Yeah.
Do you have partners at all from a day-to-day operational standpoint? Just what does your structure look like with people?
Depends on the business.
Yeah, yeah.
With the Milwaukee properties, they are still with the same manager that we hired yep. in 2016. So we do, you know, monthly meetings. I had three partners. We were all individually owned though. So it was me and one guy, me and another guy, me, like they don't know each other.
Yep.
When we did our liquidation back in 2019, I was pregnant. I had a really big portfolio. It was taking a lot of my time. So I sold about half of it. Two of the partners decided to sell at that time. One did not. So of my portfolio that's still up there, 8-9 properties I own 100% of. And then the other 4 properties I own 50-50 or 80-20 with a partner. With the brokerage business, I own it solely. So we have a team of 8 agents. Everyone kind of does their own thing. Everyone works in areas they personally invest in, yeah. but it's great because of vacations, right? I mentioned before I take 2 months off a year easily. So we cover each other while on vacations. So it's not like a typical agent where you're completely solo on your own and you still need to work on vacation. Right. Just this weekend, I explained to you earlier, we've had 6 weeks of sick in my house. It's been one thing after another with my kids. They've had every single sickness. Like just this weekend, like, screw it. We need a vacation. Yeah. So like we decided to go to Mexico in 2 weeks. Yeah. You know, we were able to book it last minute. I've got coverage on my brokerage side of things. And then with the summit, I have one partner. He and I run the whole thing. And then we're luckily very opposite talents.
Yeah.
And we're able to, this is now our, you know, fourth year doing it. We're able to just delegate tasks and know the other person will just handle it.
That's perfect. That yin and yang is a terrific balance to be able to get things accomplished. Yeah. Talk to me more about the summit. Tell us, for those who don't know about it, enlighten us.
So it's going to be May 6th and 7th. It's a weekend in Chicago. We had to unfortunately cancel the last one because of COVID and decided to wait to restart it. So it's a 2-day event. You know, we really focus on networking, lots of breakouts, excellent speakers, different levels of experience, right? We also like to do a lot of panels, have it be interactive discussion.
Yeah.
It's great. It's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. I always lose my voice. Yeah. So by the end of the conference, I can't talk. And my husband now, when we first met, I was traveling to conferences a few times a year. And he's like, I don't get it. You're paying for your own travel. You know, you pay for your own hotel and airfare. You don't get paid to speak at these conferences. So, and you're working from like, you know, I've got to do my hair and makeup. I'm a girl. So that takes like a whole hour in the morning. He's like, and then you're there from like 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. I'm like, but I love it. Right. I love it. Like, this is our Christmas is going to these events and getting to talk with other investors. Not only do you learn a lot, but it really reinvigorates your business. you come back with a lot of ideas, and it creates new connections and new partnerships as well.
There's getting around that right crowd that is absolutely priceless. The ability to connect with people and have dialogue, have relationships. There's only so much you can do from a Zoom standpoint. It's different. It's a different energy, different feel.
Yeah.
When you're with somebody and the conversation is just free flow, and all of a sudden you overhear somebody say something about something, and then you're down to a different vein. You found a golden nugget that totally transforms and makes deep impact as to what you're doing in your business.
Not only that, but like real estate investors are different, right?
Yep.
This is a lifestyle decision.
Yes.
It's not just a job, right? You can go to, let's say an accounting or a tax conference, right? Yep. Like that's not the same. But for real estate investors, like it's our passion.
It's
like,
an obsession.
Yep. It's an obsession, really. Yep. Yep. And I always joke, like you could take any 12 real estate investors, right? Lock them in a room with a case of wine. Yep. They will come out 12 hours later, still talking. Because, we all have the same mindset, right? We connect on a level beyond just what our job is, So I love it.
Yeah. No, that's terrific. Looking forward, where are you headed? What's the plan for the next year? What's your world look like?
I don't do plans. I try to let opportunities present themselves to me.
Oh, yeah.
And, I always like when it feels right, it feels right. So, the brokerage is doing very well. So we're going to continue with that, and keep on pace. I just did my first syndication this year. So I'm looking at some of the different investment opportunities, potentially a marijuana company in New Mexico. Just understanding different avenues of diversification, is really my kind of goal right now. I put in the work, right? I've done the time. I built the business.
Yeah.
And now any additional capital, I want to be passive.
That's great. I think I may name the show From Wine to Weed with Bree.
So my husband is a sommelier, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So I got divorced and I hadn't been on a date in 8 years.
Yeah.
I was like, I need to just go on. I'm going to pick the first person that asks me. I need to go on a date. I need to pop off a Band-Aid, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, he's from Europe and he knows about wine. Like, how bad could this date be? And we were married 6 months later.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
So wine is a very big part of our lives.
Sure. No doubt about it. Yes.
Yeah.
Let's do this. I want to move on to the final segment, what I call 4 for Impact.
4 for Impact.
Your favorite quote. I do not regret the things I have done, but those I did not do. Lucas, Empire Records said it. What about that resonates with you?
It's all like, Empire Records is an old movie, right? It's from like when I was in high school.
Yeah.
But that quote has always stuck with me, I think. And it's interesting being a parent now, right? Yeah. My daughter is still 3, my oldest. So she's still too little. But I've got like a whole list of things I want to teach her about life, right? And really shape her as a person. And one of those is you can't be scared of failure, right? Yeah. People are too scared to try. And too scared to fail. So they just don't do it. And then they're stuck in these mundane lives, right? Where you go to the same job and you come home, you get home like at 6 o'clock at night, you barely see your kids, you have dinner and you go to bed, and then you do it all over again. Weekends are chores and errands. Like, I don't want that life for my kids. And I want to teach them to fail, to fall down. And part of that is not having regrets and trying.
Yeah. What do you think holds most investors back from hitting their personal next level?
Really, it's fear.
Yeah.
I think also, not just real estate investors, but people in general, very concerned about appearances.
Mm.
What so-and-so is doing, what so-and-so has. And that also really affects people and their ability to grow themselves. Another, huge component of real estate investors that I love is I feel like they're always into personal development. They're always reading. They're always listening to podcasts, right? They're always wanting to move themselves forward. And I think that's a really unique quality versus the rest of the general population. And the general population doesn't have the ability to have that vision of change. Real estate investors like change. We like growing.
Yeah, you're right. It's a lot of personal growth that then transcends into business growth.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Outside of real estate, what are you most passionate about?
My kids when they're being nice.
Yeah.
And not sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then travel.
You've really been everywhere. You've been lots and lots of places, have you not?
Yeah. 20 something countries.
Yeah. Incredible.
Really, that's one of the great things about real estate investing and having this life. Said, this weekend, we're like, we need a vacation. I'm like, where are we going to go? And we just booked a flight and we're leaving in 2 weeks. That ability to be flexible and just go places. It's an adventure. This will be my first time my 8-month-old is traveling. So that will be either a regret or a positive experience, we will see. But, you know, getting to see stuff, learn other cultures, yeah. really, I had a fantastic time and I was in Thailand for a month and it really set my perspective on how spoiled we are here.
Yeah, totally different.
Totally different mindset, but how yeah. how happy they are as people, even with things that we wouldn't consider to make you happy. So like no air conditioning, no working plumbing, they don't care. They're happy.
If you go down that path, that rabbit hole of studying happiness, and you find out that the American lifestyle doesn't necessarily directly correlate to happiness.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. When did you get that travel bug? When it really seeded with you?
Probably my honeymoon of my first marriage.
Okay.
We went to Europe for 2 weeks for our honeymoon. And this is my first time going to Europe. And then that's when, you know, then we went to Thailand. So we went to Europe in July, and my dad passed later that month after my honeymoon. And then for we did a ceremony in Thailand, which my stepmom's from, and he loves Thailand. Yeah. Like my whole family flew out for a month and did his ashes.
Wow.
You know, and then so I traveled my two first times really out of the country outside of like Mexico and stuff was within a 6 month period at the same time I was getting into real estate investing. And so all of that kind of trickled, you know, then I married a European. Yeah. So, you know, we go
to guaranteed to travel then. Yes.
Guaranteed. Yeah. You know, right. His family's all over Europe. So that's really what started it. It was all kind of a thing with him. And I also said with my dad always talking about traveling and never really getting to do it.
What's your favorite way to make an impact in the community?
Personally, I do really much better with donations, financial donations. I would love to volunteer. It's one of the things that's on my list to get my kids into once they're old enough is really giving back to the community. So my major things here, like we've got a food pantry that I support financially. Now that I'm done having babies, as soon as we're done with something, I am donating that, getting the stuff out of my house.
Yeah.
We just did I had a whole truck actually come to pick up all my baby stuff like 3 months ago.
Yeah.
For a donation center in the Chicagoland area. Cool.
Yeah. No, that's great. I really appreciate you taking the time to connect on here. You got a really fun story and unique turns and flows through the way and be able to build both a real estate investment business and then a brokerage at the same time. And I live in both worlds, so I know that they are not the same and they require a different level of workload associated with them. For people who want to connect with you, they want to find you, they want to follow you, they want to learn more about the Midwest Real Estate Networking Summit. Where can they go? What should they do for both of those, you and the summit?
So on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Bigger Pockets, my handle is Chicago Bree. BRIE. And then the Midwest Summit website is MidwestReSummit.com.
Perfect. We'll make sure we get all the links in the show notes below for you, for everybody here. Bree, I really appreciate you taking the time. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you bet. For everybody here at Real Grit, I'm Neil Timmons, reminding you that real estate requires real grit. See you next time.
If you like our content and want more, you can access it at RealGritPodcast.com. You hear it guest after guest. Instinctively, you already know it, but let me call it out. The most expensive action is inaction. The real estate market is full of opportunities. You just need to uncover them. You can build a business that lasts for years, makes monumental impact in the lives of those that you love. It's not just about business, but about the freedom you get because of it. Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I believe that partnering is essential. In fact, I partner with hardworking investors all the time. The point is that you can get a lot further with the right partner. Let me say it again, the right partner. If you've ever thought about partnering with anyone, or if you have a partner now, I encourage you to download my free Partner and Profit Guide, which includes the top 5 must answer questions to evaluate a profitable partnership. You can find it at www.legacyimpactpartners.com. I'll see you in the next episode.
Hey, it's Neil Timmons. I've got a question for you. Are you a fix and flipper and want to leverage your skills, build passive income, create bigger paydays? Maybe you buy and hold rental houses and you want to increase your income by working less. Maybe you're executing on the Burr methodology and times being what they are, you're finding more cash locked into a deal. Maybe you want more predictable profits, or maybe this is your first go at real estate. Well, I've got a challenge for you. The 20X Profit Challenge. It's hosted and taught by yours truly. I'm going to teach and show you over the course of 5 days in this totally free challenge, how to 20X your profit. Lesson 1's a game changer, multiplying your income and capital fast, Lesson two is the perfect plan. I'm going to show you how to be getting off market 20x profit deals coming to you. The cash flow multipliers, lesson three, how to rapidly force appreciation and income growth. Lesson four is the deal accelerator, buying and holding profit guarantee properties. And lesson five, the wealth accumulator, consistently closing a 20x profit deals. I'm going to show you exactly my methodology, exactly what I did to go from where I was at, not achieving the results I wanted to achieve in my life, not achieving the passive income that I hoped for, that I knew I was capable of, and in 3.5 years becoming financially free. I'm going to do that in a 5-day free challenge. To sign up, go to 20xprofitchallenge.com, 20xprofitchallenge.com. We've got one coming up. Go there now, register. It's totally free. 20xprofitchallenge.com. And I'll see you in the challenge.